Só queria fazer algo para o cliente ativo. O cliente ativo também tem uma possibilidade. Por lá, pronto. Os contatos são vários ramos. Eles têm um sistema de notícias, eles são cada vez mais fortes em notícias, e também, ao longo da sala de aula, nós temos que observar o meu estilo, o que eu lasto, como eu quero fazer o meu trabalho. Então, como é a progressão, eu quero thank you for your work on me here, and I hope that this matter will be an encouragement for us and for all of us. I think I need it and on the So the title of my message is Two Examples for Online that Powerful Utilities. We live in a time that is a little bit difficult because we have many wars around it. We know every day we have something that's happening in the news, and that can be something that will blow our mind.
Also, we are living our life every day. We are running around, trying to make an end to our life and to do something for our life. But in the middle of all of that, we can sometimes forget what is essential for our life, in this earth, but most importantly, what is essential for eternity. We are not living for today. We are living as God's people for eternity. So our life must count for eternity. If we live our life without living it in a way that counts for eternity, we will waste everything that God have done for us and also that God have given to us so that we can use it for His glory. Ecclesiastes is written by Solomon in his old age. The man who had experienced everything a person can experience in his time. He have experienced pleasure, riches, honors, and fame. But at the twilight of his life, he will write a sermon. And when the word Ecclesiastes is Kohelet, it says the preacher. So Ecclesiastes is a sermon that he is writing to his great grandchildren, I guess they said. But I think it is for the next generation that was coming. And the theme of Ecclesiastes is this: vanity of vanities, all is vanity, if not done for God. Throughout the 12th chapter of his book, God shows us that everything that we do, if we don't do it for him, it is all but vanity. And we do many things, and those things are necessary. And those things can be something that is necessary for our life to go on. But what the Lord is asking us to do is to not be to not adore those things, to not put our heart so that those things are idol, become idol. But he asked us, as we are chasing after those things, to remember that we must do it for God. In the French version, he said that sometimes when we call it in the English version, we said vexation of spirit when we are doing those pursuits. But in French, the version said chasing after wind is the translation. And I like that translation because it's like we are living our life chasing after many things. But those things, it's like sometimes if we do it without God, we are just chasing after wind. In Ecclesiastes 1:14, he says this: I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. All is chasing after wind. However, God knows that all those things that we are chasing, We need them. It's about our daily life. But he prescribes the remedy for this. He said, we need to do it with a perspective on eternity. We cannot prevent this chasing of happiness in our life. And many of those things are legitimate. In a car, a house, it is something that is necessary. However, the desire of God is for us to appreciate those blessings without being enslaved to them. And he tells us that we must remember God in the days of our youth. And we must continue to fear him and serve him all our days with an eye on eternity. And this is the background of what we will be seeing today. And I want us to turn our Bible to Ecclesiastes, and we will read those two verses. This is what the word of the Lord said. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Dear friend, we run in our society and we run after many things, yet those among all those things that we are running after, few of them count for eternity. And it is why when Solomon concluded his message, he said, let me summarize what I have been saying to you all from the beginning. This is the summary, the conclusion. And God wants us to hear this conclusion as an admonition for our life. And he asked us to hear this conclusion so that we can live a life that counts for eternity. The first essential that he said here in verse 13 is fear God. Fear God. The fear of God is one of the most important things in our life and in the life of every man. For us, children of God, it is the most important aspect of our life. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We live in a generation where the fear of the Lord is absent from public life. We can see it. We know it. We witness it every day. Evil is called good, and even the mansion of God is subject to mockery. However, the word of God commands us to fear God. It does not ask us to be terrified of him, but to fear him. So it begs the question, what is the fear of God? What does it mean to fear God? First of all, to fear God is to have a great respect for God, to have a reverence and admiration for him. Because for as much as God is love, the Lord is also a consuming fire. Hebrews 12 says this in verse 28-29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. So we must, to fear God is to have a great reverence, admiration for him, and a reverence to who he is. The second thing is that to fear God is to realize that he is absolutely great. His absolute greatness, his unchanging power, and his justice. Sometimes I think our generation, we don't fear God because we have lost this this teaching about the greatness of God, and we are too busy to be able to see his greatness in nature, in his creation. We live in a generation where we don't look at the creation and be in awe of the greatness of God. But we must know that God is, we must, to fear God, we must know that he is great. And we must acknowledge it and see it. Ecclesiastes 3:14, he says this, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it that man should fear before him. When we see what God is doing in his creation and in our daily life, when we meditate on it, then we will fear him. I think it's because we do not take time to meditate on what God is doing in our lives, in the world. This is a reason why we lack fear of God in our generation. If there is something that we must cultivate throughout our life, something that we must give to our children and teach them and leave them as a legacy, it is the fear of God. Because the fear of God will prevent them from many harms. And also this fear of God will lead them to the path of salvation. I know that our world is uncertain, and this can bring many fear in our hearts. The circumstances of our world are very difficult. However, we must not allow those fear to cripple us. We must place our fear in the right place. We must fear God. God is the one that we must fear. The prophet Isaiah said this to his people, to God's people, in Isaiah 8, 12, 13. He said this, do not say a conspiracy concerning all that these people call a conspiracy. Now, nor be afraid of their threat, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow, let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. God is the only one that we should fear. Oswald Chambers said this, The remarkable things about the fear of God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. Our great fear of man and circumstances and the future is nothing more than a lack of fear of God. For the fear of God is the remedy to all fears. So if we fear God, we will less fear man, the circumstances, and the future, because we know who holds the future. Now, a second question about the fear of God is this: how to fear God and how to better fear him? And the answer is simple. We must know him through a personal relationship and increase our knowledge of him through our intimacy with him. We can only fear what we know. If we don't know God, we cannot fear Him. So our fear of God is, and our knowledge of God are, as, will be in equal form. The more we fear, we know Him, the more we will fear God. So the first step in knowing God is we to accept Him as our Savior, to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. This is a necessary condition for any relationship with God. We must acknowledge our sinfulness, and we must acknowledge that we are lost without God. And we must acknowledge that God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come in this earth, give His life on the cross of Calvary, and put our faith on the provision that He has done on that cross for us to be saved. We must put our faith on that. We must believe that and put our faith on it. And then we are starting from there, a new relationship with God. He became our Father, and we become His son or daughter. Because there is no salvation without repentance. And without salvation, there is no eternity with God. There is no relationship with God. And there is no eternity with God. And if there is no eternity with God, therefore, our life does not count for eternity. So if we want to have a life that counts for eternity, we must start with the right salvation. Believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And the second step for those who are saved, those who have put their faith in Christ, we must see God's face every day through prayer and meditation of His word. In doing so, we will know Him more and more, and thus we will fear Him more and more. I think those who are married can testify to this. If you don't spend time with your spouse, you will not be able to know Him. And parents know that if they don't spend time with their children, they will not be able to know them. And it is the same thing with God. If we don't spend time with God, we will not be able to know Him. And if we don't know God, we cannot fear Him properly. We must spend time with God. This must be our commitment every day, every morning, as we wake up from our bed. We must resolve to spend time with God through prayer and through His word. Therefore, this must be our resolution. If we are not saved, to fear Him by accepting His salvation freely given. And if we are saved, to seek His face every day. Because our text said that this is the whole duty of man, to fear Him. And to be able to fear Him, we must know Him. And we must increase our knowledge of Him every day. That is the first essential for a life that counts for eternity. But He gave us here a second essential. He said, the second essential is to obey God's commands. Not only must we fear God, but we must obey His word by practicing it. You know, our world teaches us that obedience is a matter of emotions. So I feel it, then I obey. It's made me happy, so I will obey. If not, I will not obey. But God, in His word, says that Obedience is not a matter of emotions, but a matter of a healthy relationship with Him. It is a matter of loving God. John reminds us of this truth in John 14, 15. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In verse 21, he said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." The proof of our faith and our fear of God is manifested through our obedience of his word. A life lived without obedience to God's word is but vexation of spirit. It is a life of chasing the wind, a vain life. And James said that it is a dead faith. Indeed, James will say to his brothers and sisters in Christ, he will say, "You believe God exists. Great, this is excellent. But let me tell you something. Demons believe that too. And more than that, they tremble." In other words, the demon's faith is more meaningful than your faith if you believe without practicing what you believe. Because at least they know God exists and they are trembling because of that knowledge. But if you know about God and you don't do what he's doing, what he's asking you to do, your faith is less meaningful than the faith of the devil. So let us resolve to obey God's command and to do his law and to walk on his commandment. And our whole life must be a life of obedience to God's word. By doing so, first of all, we prove that we are fearing him. If you don't fear your dad, you will not do what your dad said. But if you fear him, you will do what he says. But also it is something that will give us success in spiritual success. Because if we do what God wants us to do, therefore our life will be something that will count for eternity. And this is the only life that is successful, a life that counts for eternity. In Joshua 1:8, he said this: "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." In the eyes of God, if our life is not a life that of obedience to his word, it is not a successful life. Our life must be a life of obedience to God's word. And our verse 13 says this: "This is the whole duty of man." It is not an option. He's not saying it is an option, but it is a duty to fear God and to obey his commandment. So we have seen the first essential. It is to fear God. I've seen the second one. It is to obey his law. Let us go to the third essential: to live in light of eternity. If there is one thing that these last few years have taught me personally, and I hope it have taught you too, it is that the Bible always reminds us that this life is but vapor that appear for a little time and then vanishes away. But more than that, our text today reminds us of the reality of judgment and eternity this life has. Says this, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And he begins with this thought on chapter 11. For some, it is on at the beginning of chapter 12, but in chapter 11, he said this, verse 9, when he was speaking to the young man, he said, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Hebrews 9 says this, and in verse 27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sin of many. Those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin for salvation. So, dear friends, since we don't know when Christ is coming, let us resolve to live with eternity in mind. To live in light of eternity, to be concerned for the kingdom to come and less concerned for the earthly kingdom. In everything we do or plan, we must realize that this world is not our world, it's not our home, and that we are only passing through. For one day we will join our heavenly mansion and we will have to give an account and everything of everything we have done according to the good or evil that we have done while we were in our body. We are but strangers and sojourners in this earth, waiting for the day that our blessed Lord will come to take us with him home, or the day that we will go to reunite and be reunited with him through death. But as we are waiting for that day, we must live with our eyes fixed on eternity, knowing that in 1 second he can be here. Maybe before I finish this sermon, the Lord can be here. I think we have, as Christians, lost that. We have lost that thought and that truth. This truth that in any second, the Lord can come. The first Christian was waiting for him every day. So they were living like tomorrow may never exist. It does not mean that we should live carelessly or recklessly, but we must live knowing that he can come to you or today. So we must live our lives that count for him and for eternity. All the rest is blessings that we have, But we must not be enslaved by the pursuit of those blessings. We must be enslaved by our pursuit of God. He is the higher, this is our higher calling. It is the highest calling to be slaves of God and His will. I want to finish with this illustration. It is an old legend. It's not a true story, but it's a legend. Maybe some have know the story, but it is the story of a swan and a crane. It is said that a beautiful swan landed on at the surface of a lake, where a crane was waddling and searching for snails. For a few moments, the crane looked at the swan and in amazement, and then asked, "Where do you come from?" And the swan replied, "I came from heaven." "And where is heaven?" asked the crane. "Heaven," said the swan, "heaven, have you never heard of heaven?" And then the beautiful bird went on to describe the greatness of the eternal city. He spoke of the streets of gold, gates and walls made of precious stone, the river of life, pure as crystal, and on whose banks stands the tree whose leaves will be used to heal the nations. In eloquent terms, the swan sought to describe the host who lived in the other world, but without arousing the slightest interest on the part of the crane. Finally, the crane asks, "Do you have snails in heaven?" "Snails?" repeats the swan. "No, of course, there is no snails in heaven." "Then," said the crane, continuing his search, "you can have your heaven. I want snails. I want snails." I fear, my friends, that many in this world are chasing after snails at the expense of the blessings of the eternal life to come. Many of us are chasing after snails while overlooking blessings. Blessings of eternity. However, we must know that we must repent. If not, we will learn too late that we have wasted or exchanged the treasure of eternity for the snails of this world. So as we leave this place to go about our daily life, may we resolve to live life of eternal value. A life that is not vain, a life that is not chasing after the wind, but a life that matters, a life that counts for eternity. Let us decide to leave to our children, our friends, those who love us, those who watch us live, the next generation, a legacy of fear for legacy of fear for the Lord, of obedience to God, His word, His commandment, a life lived in the light of eternity, not for this world, but in the light of eternity. For God says in His word, "Fear God and keep His commandment, for this is the whole duty of man." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for everything you have done this morning. Thank you for reminding us that we must live not for this world, but for the world to come. In doing so, we must fear you, O Lord, and you alone. We must obey your word, your commandments, and live according to your word in our daily life. Live with a life in light of eternity, looking unto you. Thank you for everything you have done in our life. And help us, give us the grace to love you and to live according to what we have learned today. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.